Thanks for tuning in. This is Building the Movie List, where we go through IMDb's top 250 movies, try and come up with our 100 favorites. This week, I'm joined for the first time by the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Boone.
I thought we were going to play the movie game. I thought you had to come in after the movie game. I thought this was strip poker. We'll
and Matt Molina.
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah, yeah. And Tim Smith.
Thanks for remembering my name.
I had to think about it for a second. But yeah, this week we are doing the movie Heat, starring Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. You might have heard of them. directed by Michael Mann. And this is 123 on IMDb's top 250 movies. Does anybody want to just give a brief summary of what this movie is about?
Wow. Well,
that's the trick of the movie. It's a very complicated movie.
Oh, my gosh. Is it?
Well, you can tell it's obviously about bank heists, as they say, quoting from the movie, taking down scores. And it seems to be a juxtaposition between the two main characters ending up being more alike than not. So, you know, the good guy had definite flaws, and the guy that was, you know, not such the good guy, De Niro, Macaulay in this case, was a flawed guy himself, but not such a bad guy in the end either.
You almost root for the bad guy a little more. I don't know if that's, if you're a fan of one or the other acting-wise, but...
I think that's a sign of a well-written movie. If you can sympathize with the characters, it's well-written. 123 on the list, I'd say it's a little low. I think it should be a little higher. That's definitely one of my favorite movies of the 90s.
I was thinking that was the same number as the amount of minutes of the movie.
No,
it's 170. Well,
this is a long movie. This is 2 hours and 50 minutes long.
Is this the longest one we've had?
Gosh, I hope so. This was this was a very long movie.
I don't think it felt long.
Boy, this was eternities for
what?
Me.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I really enjoyed the movie a lot. I never saw it when it came out in the theaters. I think I probably saw it a couple years later. And just even living down in L.A. at the time that I saw it, there was so much stuff going on in the 90s. And reading up on the wiki file of this movie that kind of clarified my thoughts on it, that the gunfight had something to do with that North Hollywood Bank of America heist. Mm-hmm. And the I forgot the one guy's name, Larry Phillips and something Matsuranu. Those two guys were just armed to the teeth with armor-piercing bullets. They had, you know, Kevlar vests on. And in fact, at the time, I remember exactly where I was when it happened. The law enforcement officers had to go to area gun stores just to get on kind of equal footing with the kind of weapons and armament that these two guys had. So you kind of tell that they kind of played off a lot of that. I think that happened around 97, and the movie came out around 95. So it just seemed like it was playing off that, and there was some.
Yeah, I think I read that they were saying they thought that movie might have influenced
them,
several
exactly.
different ones.
Right,
it made them do it.
Yeah,
the Judas Priest effect.
But they hired some French military guy to make it for realism or something. I think I read that in that same article. Some French.
They hired like a lot of people for like they hired people who'd been to prison. They had everybody training.
Yeah, like Danny Trejo.
Yeah,
I didn't even change his name. It was just Trejo.
He was a consultant at first. But they're like, hey, man, get in there.
Right. Yeah. And Wayne Grow, he didn't look exactly like a flower kind of, you know.
He
nice
actually
guy,
went
so.
To prison after this movie,
yeah.
And they called him Wayne Grove
time
that he was in prison.
He looked like he was typecast very well. It didn't look like a stretch of a part for him by any means.
I think that's
fairly
the guy,
convincing.
I think that's the same actor that was, I guess, Michael Mann. I was reading a little bit about Michael Mann because I knew I liked some of his other movies. And I guess he was going to make, he had a TV pilot that they got that kind of bombed. Or
a series? L.A. Takedown.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a made-for-TV movie. This is a remake of.
And I think Wayne Grove was
he was
in
that. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the same character, but
that's how he got a bit part when it went to a movie.
Yeah. To me, the interesting thing is before we go on to more important questions, you mentioned Danny Trejo. That movie was full of character actors and noticeable people that went on to be big later.
Absolutely.
I was amazed at that.
Every like, single role.
Everybody.
It was an all-star cast before they were all-stars.
Yeah.
Even down to like Jeremy Piven.
Yeah.
I looked at it, I was like, what? Jeremy Piven was in there?
That's right. He was in it. What was he again?
He was the doctor. Shady doctor.
Oh, yeah. He's in it for literally 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but Natalie Portman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
She was in it for like 2 seconds.
Black Flags, Henry Rollins.
Yeah, Henry Rollins.
Love that guy.
Exactly.
Ashley Judd, John Voight.
Even that chick, actress, pardon me.
Yeah, whoa.
Amy Brenneman. She was in a TV show my folks loved
mm-hmm.
after that movie. It was a popular show. Chasing Amy or something like
Pacino's
that.
Pacino's wife? Or what are you talking about?
No. Robert De Niro's girlfriend.
Oh,
she was
yeah.
in stuff for a few years. I mean, she's been in stuff since, but she was in a kind of a distinctive... Right. TV show. She was a judging Amy. That's what it was called.
I asked this, you know, prior to you setting up the podcast. I'm just wondering if anyone noticed this, but when I first watched the movie, I saw in a couple of scenes, Val Kilmer seemed to have this like really huge protrusion, almost like a boil or cyst hanging off his elbow on his left arm. Watched it again, and in a few scenes, I tried to look it up, couldn't find out whether or not it was actually him or if it was makeup, but it was just this hideous thing hanging off his left elbow. And they kind of show it in the scene where he, after he gets in a fight with his wife, Ashley Judd, splits to that Malibu beach house of De Niro's, and he wakes him up. They have coffee, start talking about taking down their next score. And he's sitting there, and I mean, it's literally just like elephantitis hanging off the end of his elbow. So, Evan, did you notice anything like that?
No. I did not notice that.
I think I'm 50-50 that it was makeup.
Okay.
You think just it was for this movie?
I'd have to rewatch that. Yeah. I don't like a protrusion coming from like a makeup job. I'm not sure.
Please don't. It's hideous. He had that scar that wasn't real on his face. Maybe it's. I mean, it's stretching, but this is stretching. And he had health problems later. Maybe I mean that's
multiple yeah. That's years. What I'm thinking more. It might have been something to do with his like current health problems. I don't know.
The movie was made in '95. Sure, it's all connected, but it's quite some time ago. But yeah, there was something I noticed. Maybe I need better glasses.
So yeah, this is actually the only Michael Mann movie on the list. Some notable ones that didn't make the cut: Collateral, The Insider.
Great movie, Collateral.
Yes, great
movie. And Last of the Mohicans. Did not make
and
it.
Another one. That's one of the first ones that bet Mark's. Do you remember Thief with James Caan?
I do.
Yeah. And that had 98% Rotten Tomatoes, I'll have you know. I
was looking for validation.
That's for like the five people that went back and reviewed Thief.
I'm a complete sucker for any movie that has LA as the backdrop, lived down there for years, so it's always nice. It's fun for me to reminisce and look at a scene and go, I know approximately where that is, or I've been there, I'm familiar with that area. And if you throw in like a devious cop, a rogue cop theme to the movie, and LA is the backdrop, you got me every time. You just talk about Collateral. There's so many great movies that, you know, fit that description.
And
I
on that topic, this was all on location, which I thought was
not
very
one soundstage.
Right. That's interesting.
Right.
And that makes total sense of what you're saying. And the other one was Manhunter, by the way.
Manhunter, yeah.
Which
I like. I like Manhunter.
I like that. It's a little more 80s stylized.
Yeah. That's why I like it.
Yeah. But I think it was the same thing. He does a lot of locations. I don't think he does a lot of soundstage stuff.
Michael Mann.
That's my impression, you know, the stuff I've seen. I guess Last of the Mohicans was... No, actually, that makes total sense. That was...
And that's not even on the list of top 200 movies.
250. Nope. Wow. Yep, not on there.
Picky.
What's wrong? I'm surprised Collateral isn't on there.
That's actually the lowest rated one of the ones that I just said. I just really like Collateral.
Yeah,
I really enjoy that movie. That's something I can watch more than a few times. Definitely.
I think Last of the Mohicans must be the most different thing that he's done. Because it's usually
crime,
you know, period, right. Not period.
Yeah, that's like a... Period. Yeah, exactly, yeah. It seems like it's all of that same kind of ilk. It's like Collateral and Heat and Manhunter.
Which
and
I think he does great. Okay. On that note.
But yeah, so this movie came out in 1995, and there's a lot of movies from 1995 on this list. You've got Heat, you got Braveheart, Seven, The Usual Suspects, Toy Story,
yeah,
Casino, Before Sunrise, and I don't know how to pronounce this, Lahane.
True Romance was another one that came out about that time. That was another, it was like one of Quentin Tarantino's first, I think right after Reservoir Dogs, but it was another LA Slater? Backdrop.
Well, that was
Christian Slater, exactly. Yeah. Patricia Arquette, exactly. Dennis Hopper, Christopher Walken, one of the funniest cinematic scenes I think I've ever seen. Another good LA. Well, it wasn't entirely in LA. I think it was East Coast, then it went to LA, but another one of that time period.
I can't remember what else was in that time period. I've seen so many movies now, decades.
That's not on this year. That's on the list.
Oh, that was all those movies you rattled off. Were that was all just from this the year. Same year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So kind of a dark.
it was a lot of dark year.
Thriller.
Yeah. It seems like a thriller.
Seven, Usual Suspects. Yeah. Casino. Yeah, a lot of movies very similar, kind of.
Same vein.
Oh, he was. Bright and lively compared to Seven. Oh my gosh, so dark and melancholy.
Yeah, that and Toy Story were the uplifting movies of the year.
I didn't sympathize with Kevin Spacey's character in Seven the way I definitely sympathized with Macaulay in Heat. So
that's De Niro's character. Yeah. And he was the most likable character
by far. Yeah, and then that was based off of a real bank heist from the 60s or something. Somebody was chasing around that guy. His name was Macaulay, and that's how De Niro got his the name.
I think the cop, too. I think he was based on something. Yeah. Somebody, I don't know if it's connected with this.
Al Pacino.
Yeah, Al Pacino doing a lot of cocaine.
Yes.
Yes. Did you read that? I was going to say you were talking about Wikipedia.
Apparently the cop is supposed to be, like, on cocaine.
But what's hilarious to me is he let everybody know 20 years later. Yeah. By the way. He's supposed to be on cocaine the whole movie.
Oh, that's why he's so crazy. Okay.
Yeah, he was good in that movie. Pretty convincing. Mm, yeah. His little abrupt yelling, you know, here and there.
It's terrific.
Would we call that terrific? Boy.
Oh, I love it.
I hate it.
It's so intense.
I hate it.
Was that after?
He's not a person in this movie.
Well, but I mean... It's two sides of the same.
Everything he does makes no sense to me.
Are you saying people on cocaine aren't real people?
First of all, there's nothing in the movie that says he's on cocaine.
No, nothing at all. But I mean, if you read between the lines, you could probably.
Speaking,
no pun intended. Yeah.
Well, the movie Training Day came out years afterwards, but it was based on Rafael Perez's exploits as a Rampart officer, and he was planting evidence on people, roughing them up to get convictions, that kind of thing, and that was based off of Denzel's character. But all that stuff was happening around that time, so I wouldn't be surprised if Heat had a little effect on not just people taking down scores, but law enforcement, saying, hey, it looks kind of fun.
The other thing, the whole point is just they're yin and yang, they're both there's two sides of the same awful life coin.
Yep. And it's funny, the whole one part of the theme of the movie was you've got to be ready to drop exactly what it is you're doing within 30 seconds when you see the heat coming around the corner, and how it applied to so many characters in the movie, especially between Pacino and De Niro. And, again, the theme was don't have any connections, be ready to disconnect at any given time. But even the most rotten characters like Val Kilmer, said at the end, he's like, the sun rises and sets with my wife. Yeah. I'm not leaving without her. And she actually, made that little gesture at the balcony saying, hey, this is, get out of here kind of thing, and got rid of him.
I thought that was extremely sad, actually, when his new girlfriend's sitting there watching everything unfold and he just walks past her.
Right.
That was a great scene.
Yeah. That's discipline.
She's just sitting there.
That's the discipline.
Yeah. What do you think, Evan?
I
didn't like that one.
Why was she there in the first place? Why is she... What was her... I couldn't connect with any of the characters in this movie at all.
You couldn't sympathize, but I connected.
I don't see anything between Robert De Niro and her to make me think, she would totally just drop everything and go with him. There's a huge, love connection there. Basically, he just, insults her at the diner and then apologizes, and then they talk for 2 seconds, and then they talk for, 5 minutes in this, 3-hour movie, and then that's enough for me to think, she would drop everything.
Well, I think she's just supposed to be extremely lonely.
Well, that's, I mean, that's she even says.
She has a lot going on.
And De Niro's like, I know you well enough.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Plus, I think also it's his character in a lot of movies. Is like, he's very forceful and like convincing. No, come on, just drop everything and come with me. And he pretty much convinced her just by his will. That was my impression of that.
Right.
And she's like, oh, okay. She had the romantic idea of going somewhere, another country, and he's got plenty of money. And then she's actually sees, holy mackerel, you know, what's going on here?
Finessed it about as well as he did Ashley Judge character.
I mean,
yeah. Found her hooking up with that guy. You're going to get one more chance. Exactly.
This movie takes place over like 5 days. Like, she knew him for like 2 days.
Right. It's a big decision.
Well, she's gullible.
Yeah, it's probably the thinnest relationship.
I mean, even, well, no, all the relationships, like, I don't see any connection between Pacino and his wife at all, or who, whatever, well, not wife, point. Or whatever she is. I don't know.
Yeah, that's,
well, that's just a terrible relationship.
That's his what? I mean, that's third marriage?
Is third that marriage. Said? I didn't even realize, I thought it was just his girlfriend until they say married.
Mm-hmm.
They have such a terrible relationship. I just thought they were living together, so I didn't think they were actually married. That's his wife.
See, I buy that one because, like, they talk about how he's, you know, he's been through two wives. You think he likes staying home. I'm like, okay, so we're watching the downfall of, like, his, like, third marriage. So this is basically, like, this has already happened before. Like, there probably was a time where they were all, like, you know, like, in love and all, like.
Well, she's got to be pretty messed up, too. And the daughter would rather go to him. Who's his stepfather,
mm-hmm.
her stepfather, when she does what she does towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Am I ruining it for people listening?
No.
When she gets to the, you know, instead
like,
of her
even
own mother.
That, like, I'm just not invested in that at all, because that was, like, 3 hours ago that I saw Natalie Portman at the beginning of the movie, and, like, oh, yeah, that's right, she's in this movie. Oh, now she's in a bathtub, and she tried to kill her.
Well, I mean, you get the impression, you know, that she's yearning to see her real father all that time, and he never shows up. And I mean, that's, you get, they draw that
she's on screen for like 5 minutes before that.
See, I think that really, like, the low amount of screen time really helped drive home that, like, the personal relationships were secondary to this like main story, like the actual jobs
that made
everybody's...
me think the characters in this movie are secondary. Like, don't I
well
somehow
yeah,
this movie
are.
Is 3 hours long and there's no character moments to me. Like, nobody, I don't understand what anybody's, like, motivations are, really.
Well, I mean, they state it pretty plainly. Pacino does what he does, chases people around the block.
He mumbles a lot and then yells out every once in a while.
And they have that meeting of the minds. I mean, to me, it doesn't make any sense robbing banks or anything like that. That's just ridiculous behavior, period. But overall, everyone in the whole movie was out for their own. So they're all, you know, very shallow, out for themselves, and were willing to put anyone else in harm's way. And it was just interesting how you had the code among thieves. So there was some honor among, you know, De Niro. He was going to scrape Val Kilmer off of the street, even though he shot. He could have just taken his money. He could have just run. So obviously it's a disgraceful perspective on social behavior.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, I guess, what you go to see in Hollywood. It's an exaggerated, you know, even if it's over 2 hours, it's just, you know, encapsulating a small portion of life. And I totally get where you're coming. You know, I was thinking, hey, the girl's gullible. Who would want to be with De Niro's character? And then when you said, well, it's not just gullible, it's like, how could there possibly be any connection? I honestly never really thought about it like that. No, you're absolutely right. Most everyone's relationship makes just about zero sense.
Like, what did they have in common?
Right.
They don't show anything. Yeah, right.
But those shallowness. But the two main characters, that's kind of like you mentioned earlier, that's the point. They don't have any life. Right. They just do their thing.
Right.
And everybody else is just secondary, you know.
The movie's trying to say.
Well, I guess then it would be like a poster child for, you know, get a life. Don't just bury yourself in your work. Yeah. You know, you get a life on the side kind of thing.
Otherwise, Al Pacino is going to kill you.
But also, he had such twisted morals.
I don't know.
If you think, we were mentioning that earlier with Robert De Niro, his own code of conduct and morals, you know, he can't let that guy go. He can't get out of there and escape. He's got to, it's not right, so he's got to fix it and kill the guy. That's his own.
Even with all that money,
up,
the woman of his dreams,
away.
He's got the last chance to get
God,
away.
It drives me crazy.
Oh. But I can understand, you know, somebody, I would never put myself in any position like that, but if somebody, you know, did wrong me like that, I would feel strongly, I would probably want to confront them before I left the country or planet or whatever.
See, that part I feel like was, for me, was like the only like kind of unbelievable part, because I would think, well, he's about to skip the country, so why wouldn't he just do that, let the heat die down, and then he can come back and kill Raingrove? Like, that seems like, for Robert De Niro's character, how meticulous and how disciplined he is, that seems like more something he would do, other than just like, oh, fuck it, you know, I know we're on the clock, but let's go kill this guy.
No, I think I'm disagreeing and agreeing with you at the same time. I think because he has such an idea how everything's supposed to be, even in his weird criminal way, that, no, this is something that has to be done before this happens. We need to kill this guy because he betrayed us. Same with the, what's it, Wangro? That was the main scuzzball. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to kill him right away after he screws up. I mean, snap my fingers. Like that.
That's all right.
Because, you know, he's did what they don't want. He broke their rule of conduct right away. He's going to kill him. It's something he has to do before he does the next thing, which is enjoy his money in New Zealand or wherever he's going. I know, that's my impression of that.
To me, he's just a liability, and they need to get rid of him. But he's a loose cannon.
But you're right, Matt. He could have waited and come back, but that's not how we must take care of this.
How meticulous and, you know, like I said, disciplined he is. That seems something more within his character to, like, let it go for now and then come back to it.
See, I don't think he can let things go. That's because they could have left... He didn't have to do that last score. He's got a number of scores he wants to do so he can enjoy himself the rest of his life somewhere else.
It was worth the stretch.
Yes, buddy, the fence, John Voight even warned him. He's like, this guy, you know, Pacino's character, he doesn't have a life. All he does is spend all his time outside the house looking for people like you.
Yeah.
You know, and this, you know, let this one go. And he just wouldn't let it go. So I guess, pride comes before the fall.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely had a chance to probably make a cleaner break and decided just he had to go down the way he you know, wanted it to. And he did say in the movie a few times, my word counts.
Yeah. And back to the other story, John Voight. There's another name. John Voight, Ted Levine. There's so many people in this movie. Yeah. Ted Levine.
Like all side characters.
Right.
And small parts, but they're like, I want to be in this movie because De Niro and Pacino are in a scene together. It's never happened, really.
Yeah, it was the first time they were in the same scene together. Yeah.
Don't you admit that was kind of cool? I mean, I was like, this is kind of, for me, it was like, oh, this is awesome.
The coffee shop?
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah.
And then how he outsmarted him, too, and just, you know, pulled under the 105 tunnel so there was no transmission signal, and they're trying to, you know, track him, and they dumped all their surveillance devices at the same time. That was clever.
Yeah, I like that, because that, before that, they talk about how they've tracked everybody else's homes, but they're trying to track De Niro, and they're just like, yeah, we just lose him every time.
Yeah.
Why did he get coffee with De Niro?
Oh, we pulled him over. He had a helicopter surveillance with cops tailing him. So he's flying over him in a helicopter. And then as soon as they secured where he was near the airport on the 105, said, you know, have one of the units pick me up. So he flies the helicopter over
to
the
pad, where he is.
Knows where he is and then comes up right behind him, his BMW, and flashes his lights.
But why did he get coffee with him?
Well, he just pulled him over, and he's like, that's what he asked him. He didn't say, hey, give me your license. He just said, hey, you want to go get coffee?
But why?
I know it's you.
They wanted to have that confronting, that confrontation. And he says, you know, it's like, I'm gonna get you. And he's like, no, you're not. He's like, do I look like some crazy person with a born to, you know, get caught
and
tattoo?
They know each other already. They know each other's personality.
Exactly.
They're like,
they're like the same person. They're like looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
How do they know each other already? They
haven't even met each other.
They're the same person.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, he, you know, De Niro had looked him up immediately after, you know, they
don't have like a long history with each other.
No, they knew their backgrounds. One had been to prison, right? He kept saying, you'd done a stint at Folsom, and asked him what the other place was like, if it was that hard. And then
they were both Marines, too.
Were they?
I did not know that.
Yeah, because Robert De Niro, it never says it, but you see, he's got the globe and eagle in one scene.
But like, is it figurative? They know each other. They know they're each side of the coin.
Yeah. Opposite sides of the same coin.
Yeah. I just thought that was neat.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a clever scene, a meeting of the minds. It's like they saw each other in each other, and it's like, wow, we're not all that different. And I sort of respect you, but in the end, I'm still going to take you down if I have a chance. And that's basically what it boiled down to.
There were some parts in the movie, though. This is one of those, these have a very complicated, with multiple characters, when they refer to names you've met once and Who's that again? There was multiple times throughout the movie. Who's that character?
The Game of Thrones problem.
I watched it. One of the few people that didn't. But, and they referred it, like they're on the phone, and then referring to some name very quickly. I have to watch it a couple more times to understand.
Yeah, I
agree. There's sometimes like, well, how do they know to do this? There was a few times like that where it wasn't real fleshed out to me. I mean, I'm sure they explained it, but it was so quick. And I wasn't as...
Right, a little bit of a leap or a stretch, a gap.
How do they know to go to the hotel, or how do they know to... Anyway.
Which hotel? Where Wayngrove was staying?
Now I got to think about it. There was a few
a lot of hotels.
Yeah, I know. It was a little confusing here and there. But
yeah, watching it the second time, there was a lot of stuff that, I felt like the first watch, I was kind of like, I don't really understand how they got there.
Yeah.
But then watching it the second time, knowing what happens, I see okay.
Yeah.
They sow all these little seeds that you totally missed the first time.
Yeah.
But talking about that coffee scene, De Niro and Pacino decided not to rehearse it together just so they would have an unfamiliarity with each other. Like the two characters would have in the scene.
Oh, that's terrific.
That's a fact.
That's awesome. That's
pretty cool.
I think it was still like the one that we see is like the 18th take.
They got familiar after the 15th take.
It's a good anecdote, though.
I enjoyed the facial expressions. You know, there was like an acknowledgement of each other. So maybe that just shows that they're really good actors. But I was impressed with the exchange.
Didn't it feel like they kind of were like, we're enjoying doing this, feeding out each other.
Right.
We haven't done it. I remember thinking that.
Yeah, I could see them being like buddies. And
they respected each other. Still going to die. But...
Yeah.
But he said he wasn't going to like it.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's nice.
It's a nice little touch.
That's a good point.
And another little fact here was the famous gunshot scene. In the shootout scene, Michael Mann put all these microphones just all over the set and recorded it that way, and that's how the gunfight sounded so natural.
The echoes
and crazy.
It was impressive.
That was crazy.
Yeah. That scene. Yeah. I would imagine for the right kind of mind watching that would be a little bit of a roadmap of how to do things. It was pretty detailed from start to finish of the movie, throwing down the spike strip, having the radio, ability to judge how fast, how much escape time they had, escape routes, all that stuff. Yeah, I imagine that was a pretty helpful film for.
And that, you just remind me also, you're talking about the reality part of it based on a few real people. I guess one of those, that part where they're breaking into the drill bit place, that was one of the real heists where they were steal diamond bits. Did you read that on Wikipedia? Yeah, in the early 60s when they did all these different capers.
Mm-hmm.
But that was actually taken from a real heist. They broke into that place and they were going to steal a bunch of diamond bits, apparently. Or something.
You mentioned it earlier. Was Ashley Judd go visit with prostitutes to kind of learn about that? And then Pacino and De Niro went to Folsom Prison and
a lot of research for that.
So it's interesting how they would do that. And the culmination of it would be this exhibition of shallow, really selfish behavior, you say, none of those relationships really made any awful sense at all, but that was all based off of research of severely dysfunctional people and what they do. So I guess, you would have to research it a little bit.
She was awful. Right. I watching that, I kept thinking, this is just an unappealing woman.
It was supposed to be she's mad at her because he's not a, there enough, but it's like all the times that he's leaving, it's like, I got a beeper message that there's like somebody found a body, I gotta go. I'm like, what's he supposed to do?
But all those scenes where he said, the baby in the microwave thing,
oh, yeah,
because it was too loud,
He just slaps her across the face with that information every time she's trying to. But she, like he said, however he puts it, you're getting baby, or whatever he said.
We're getting baby.
You got to share me with all the maniacs and sociopaths.
He kind of made a good point. He's like, you want me to tell you all this stuff every day I come home? Right. And then I have to go back to the fact that the daughter, she kept going to him. So the mother is not exactly mother of the year. I don't know. And then she's having an affair to get to make him jealous. I don't know.
Women not depicted well in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a fair amount of misogyny, stereotypes, negative stereotypes. Yeah. Definitely a pre-hashtag not Me woke. Too.
They're all pretty messed up. I was asking earlier, though, was this before or after Son of Woman? Do you know? I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't know. This is definitely in that same range where he's like crazy Pacino.
Yeah, crazy, loud. Yeah, I think it was a little Pacino. Before. Anyway.
I don't know.
You mentioned that he admitted to doing blow while he was on the set or during the filming of that movie. Is that
he said he envisioned the character. He said the character is supposed to be on cocaine the entire 20 years later. I'm like, well, how would anybody know unless he was doing that?
Right.
Yeah.
My impression.
You got to imagine all the other research that they did. Right. He probably had.
Yeah, if he wasn't on cocaine, that's really impressive because he was just a very fiery,
very convincing
person. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, sorry about that.
No, well, I guess I was just wondering who had better hair in this, Val Kilmer or John Voight.
Mm. Oh, John Voight was great.
Yeah, John Voight. I think he's.
Wow. It kind of looked, you know, his character reminded me of the other one, that terrible one with.
Anaconda. Yeah.
He kind of looked like that.
He didn't have the crazy accent in this.
He didn't have the accent.
You mean the convincing accent?
Very convincing.
That's really funny, you guys making fun of Kilmer and John Voight's hair, because when I actually had hair, that's
what you were going for. That.
Sadly, that's exactly what I was going for.
You know, Val Kilmer, I'm sure you're going to give me an example that's going to argue against this, but I've liked just about everything he's been in.
Oh, I love Val Kilmer.
And this movie, he kind of was almost not even secondary. He was important.
He's barely in this movie.
He's not. It's weird. He doesn't have a personality. Well,
I feel like none of the characters have a personality.
He's a gambler. He's messed up.
I mean, they just say that. That's all.
He's vacant.
Yeah.
You know. So I guess peeling out of his driveway in the vet and you know acting that way kind of goes with the character. But yeah, it didn't seem like it was like anything he had to.
It wasn't
delve too hard.
And I almost felt like, hey, I want to be in this movie with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
Probably.
And who wouldn't?
Yeah. Right. And that's why there were so many freaking people in the movie.
Yeah. So okay, I had a thing at the end of the movie when she gives him the signal, and he doesn't go in the house, and then they pull him over anyways. How do they not just have like a picture of him to know what he looks like?
Well, he had cut his hair.
It's 1995. That's a Stone Age. They didn't have stuff like that.
You pictures? Know, they didn't have pictures.
You wouldn't be able to get away with that stuff these days. They would have got him. But yeah, that was a question in my mind as well. I was like, slipping through the filter a little too easy there, considering that they're looking for this
guy.
Yeah,
they already have
just
pictures
a bunch
of him,
of
right? Yeah. Maybe he was wearing long sleeves and you couldn't see his elbow.
Long sleeves. I can't see his elbow.
That's what we know him for.
10-4, let him through.
You never know. He could have lanced the boil.
Short hair, no elbow. Get him through.
That's terrible.
Well, I'm wondering, did you enjoy the movie, Evan?
No, I did not enjoy this movie at all.
Wow.
At all?
No.
You invited a guy over that just thinks it's top notch.
Oh, no, that's great. It's great. A lot of people love this movie, and like I feel like I watched a different movie than everyone else.
You were focusing on the relationships.
It was weird. I was focusing on like the characters, and even like the gunfight. Like I don't care about anybody in the movie, so it's like...
Well, how about John Wick? Because none of that makes any sense, but it was a severely
entertaining movie. Oh my gosh, I care so
much
about John Wick because they killed his puppy. That was the last gift. That was more emotional than anything in this movie.
Wow, I struck a nerve.
No, John Wick's amazing.
Fuck you. Don't you dare bring up John Wick.
Don't you dare tell me I'm not invested in John Wick.
No, I'm just saying none of it makes any sense. You know, they come to John Wick's house. Oh, it's a little noise disturbance tonight. And, oh, yeah, just,
well,
just
everybody
clean
knows
it up.
Him.
You know?
No, because he's
knows.
John
right.
freaking
everybody knows
Wick.
But I kind of felt the same about it. Like it's there's no useful commentary with either of those movies. They don't help society at all. That is pure makes no sense entertainment.
Yeah, don't kill
that's
puppies.
That's kind of what I look like.
That's...
But I felt bad for Tom Sizemore because he had the family life.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
You know. Yeah. But also
he's not really a character. There's nothing. He just all I know about him is he calls everyone slick.
Yeah.
He plays himself.
Yeah.
Well, because that's the...
I mean, you kind of feel bad for him, for the family, because he actually has a family.
More for the family than for him. Because De Niro tries to get him. He's like, hey, man,
you can go.
Everything set. You don't need to do any of this. He's like, hey, the juice is my...
Yeah. Like, it's the loyalty thing, I think, more than...
I can't look at Sizemore and not think of the Heidi Fleiss thing. Do you remember that? And that's why he's just typecast as a shady guy in every movie, because he was involved in that whole Heidi Fleiss thing. Or, it was just,
I think he's just a shady guy in general.
Yeah, definitely.
Wasn't he in Heart and Souls, though? Or I get him mixed up with another actor, maybe.
Maybe.
I was going to research that. I love that movie.
He's getting Black Hawk Down. I give him that. You know,
I have never seen that.
That.
I've heard that's great, but I've never seen it. But on your... rounding it back up to the topic, I didn't dislike this, but this isn't my favorite movie either. I don't know if I'd put this in my top 250.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. Watching it again, it was like, I wasn't bored. I was totally interested for 3 hours.
Man, I looked at, I was so bored, and I looked at, I wanted to see like how far I was into the movie. And I was only an hour into the movie.
Really?
I had like 2 hours to go.
See, I thought like everything, all the different set pieces were so cool. And
what?
Just the meticulous thought put into everything. I didn't even read about all of that, but I could just tell by watching a movie. Like, I was like, oh man, that's really cool. How like, what, like how they have it all planned out.
What part? What, like, planned out what?
Well, like, just thinking about the part where they're going to get the money from what's William Finchner's character's name?
Oh,
Van Zandt.
Van Zandt. Yeah, going to get the money from Van Zandt.
I forgot. Yeah, like, he's in it.
Yeah, and they pretty much, Robert De Niro pretty much knows. He's like, yeah, this guy's going to fuck us over before he even gets there. So he's got Val Kilmer and Tom Sizemore play strategically.
I thought you were going to say the scene where they're in the shipyards.
That too. I thought that was really cool.
That was great. And he realizes they're making us, you know.
That's believable.
That was a great scene.
More believable than the drive-in scene where they're just like plugging holes of 223s in those trucks.
That was just a fun scene.
And nothing happens. They just walk away from that.
That was like a Dirty Harry scene.
Yeah.
It's just not, you know, but it was fun to watch.
Definitely. But you're just like, this has never happened. Never can recall a newsreel where just this random thing happened at a drive-in.
Old drive-in.
Yeah. I don't even know where... I was thinking that with, like, the last bank heist. I was like, man, they're killing a lot of people.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those three dudes just taking out everybody. Yeah, Robert De Niro in this movie, he's all over the top 250. I wonder, I'm not going to take the time to figure out who has the most movies on top 250. But he's got this movie, Taxi Driver, Godfather 2, Raging Bull, Casino, Deer Hunter, Once Upon a Time in America.
All those older
and
stuff.
Goodfellas. Yeah, there's most, yeah, they're kind of after this. There's really nothing.
I guess Little Fockers isn't.
Didn't make the cut.
He was good in that, top notch. I was great in The Intern. I don't know if you guys saw The Intern.
I like his more commercial movies.
Top notch.
Yeah, I got into him after those movies. It's funny because I was a littler kid, so I wouldn't watch that kind of stuff too much. I've never seen Raging Bull.
I've seen it. It's pretty good.
I love Midnight Run. Midnight Run's one of my favorite movies.
It's black and white. That's the problem.
He's true.
Yeah. They just couldn't get the color for it for some reason.
And the other thing is, it's funny. I kept thinking, man, he looks young in this movie. He probably wasn't exactly a spring chick. I mean, he's not that he was older, but.
This is pretty far into his filmography.
But
yeah.
It's funny.
Is Cape Fear on there? He was great.
I missed the cut there.
Wow.
What's that? Midnight Run. I love that movie.
Yeah. I never saw that.
Oh, yeah, check that out. All right. He's great at that.
Is that where they're taking like a prisoner back?
It's with him and Charles Grodin, and they're actually considering making a sequel. The freaking movie's 30 years old.
Oh, no, I think I've seen Midnight Run. Yeah, that's good.
It's just great.
Are they going to make a Heat 2?
Yeah.
No, seriously, I think that was something that I read that they're going to read, like, update
you know what?
The movie.
You're right. Yeah. No, no, I read that they're going to do a prequel.
Thank you.
That's what it was.
I said correct.
Preheat.
Oh, gosh.
A Prometheus.
Lukewarm.
Preheat. That's pretty good.
Preheat.
Touche. All right. That's a clever comment of the night. I really enjoy
Preheat. Preheat your ovens. It's time.
It's time once again.
Instead of heat, just warmth.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys have a favorite De Niro movie?
Well, I'm going to say Midnight Run. I love that.
Midnight Run?
He's great. You know what? Talking about the subject, I can think of a million movies. What about him in, which he was nominated for, a buddy of mine goes crazy about this because he thinks he should have won. The one with Robin Williams where he was in the coma. I think both of them were nominated. Oh my God, I can't remember the movie right now. Awakening. There it is.
Damn. I never saw it.
Oh man.
I
heard
of it. No idea.
He was nominated for Academy Award for that and he lost to somebody. Oh, I tell you, I think he lost to Jeremy Irons.
Huh.
Huh. And which I never
for Scar so. For what?
No, the one
Scar
for Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons. Oh man, there's a pull. I've seen that. Yeah.
No, the one where he was Van Klaus, or what's it? That's the killer, the killer's wife, the in real life.
Oh,
Van Klaus or something like that. I never saw the movie, and I don't know much about the real. It was a guy that his wife died mysteriously. And
Dangerous Liaison?
No.
What's it called? We don't need to struggle to remember it.
But I think he won for that. And, okay. And De Niro was terrific in Awakenings.
I'm surprised you guys
haven't seen that.
He's almost at that threshold where he's in every movie. He's not really, but like Michael Caine, at one time I was like, that's the man that's in every movie.
Jaws 4.
Amazing, but he is in an astonishing number of movies, and I would say an astonishing number of pretty good movies. My favorite movie with him might be the recent one. I enjoyed him in The Intern with Anne Hathaway. It's a pretty clever movie. It's got an upbeat... meaning the relationships do make sense. There is some depth to the characters.
Oh, cool.
check it out. Unlike some of the others. But then I could go completely the other way and say Cape Fear was top-notch. I just thought that was great and awesome. I like not just De Niro, but the angles of the movie, just the way it was shot, just had a real moody look and feel to it.
Even if the movie is not great, he's great. Like,
he's good.
The one with Wesley Snipes, where he's the baseball player. I got him hitting you guys.
Yeah,
he was a kooky fan. Maybe it's called The Fan.
Oh, yeah, The Fan.
The Fan.
Maybe it's called The Fan.
Yeah.
He was great in that, too.
Yes.
You know, he was also great in the one, it was a bit part, but he was the captain of the fantasy movie where the star.
Oh, Stardust.
He was great in that.
There's one, too.
Stardust is great.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
So every movie he's been in, The Fockers, he's so good, comedy stuff.
I didn't see Stardust. The grandpa
analyze one. This.
Analyze
and that.
That right? The grandpa one kind of got bad ratings. I never saw that, but Dirty Grandpa or Bad Grandpa, what it was called.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that.
I don't think a lot of people saw that.
Nobody saw it. So I didn't mean to take...
I'm probably going to have to go with... And it might have been just because he said it. Because I was like... this whole time I've been trying to figure out what I'd say my favorite De Niro movie is, but Cape Fear was pretty good.
He was great.
Man. Everything else is like, he's good, but he's pretty much the same character in like a lot of his movies. I'd say like 90%. But Cape Fear is one where he's a little different, but he's fun to watch either way. It really doesn't matter.
You can tell that was a pretty influential movie with him getting yoked and he was just tatted from head to toe, you know, and Robert Mitchum who said that. I don't know whether to look at him or read him.
That's one of those where
there was one from the 50s or something.
Yeah,
that
was actually really good, but this is one of those that
and he was in that, he was in both of them, right?
Yeah,
Robert Mitchum.
He was the villain in that one.
Right. But it seemed like just De Niro's character there in Cape Fear spawned like a bunch of other people in movies kind of trying to look the same.
Marky Mark and the boyfriend. What was that one where he's a boyfriend?
I was going to say like American Obsessed. History X, you know, any yoked guy with just tattoos. You're like, oh, they were looking at Cape Fear. You can just tell it's very reminiscent of them.
Oh, another great man. The more I think about it, what about the one with not The Score? He wasn't in that, was he?
Oh, the other heist movie.
Yeah, that was a good one. I kind of my brain ain't working. And
The Heist?
No,
it's not The Italian Job.
I got to
think. It's not The Score. Sneakers.
The French guy was in it. The guy Jean Reno or whatever.
Jean Reno. Oh, Ronan.
Ronan. There it is.
I didn't like that movie.
Oh, I
love
that.
That great.
We
Slow.
Could compare that because that's another kind of, you know.
That came out around that time, right? In the 90s, something like that.
Pretty close.
90s,
so I would say maybe a little later.
Yeah, it's another one of these type of movies. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of moving parts. And a lot of, but
he's like a mercenary or something like that in it.
Yeah, they're.
Hitman.
It's another complicated story.
It's very complicated.
Yeah, it's too complicated for right now.
It's not simply a mercenary.
But he's just been, I started thinking about all these movies. I didn't even mind the one, which is, you know, would be low on anybody's list for Robert De Niro, but the one with him and Stallone, where they're boxers. I kind of enjoyed that one.
What was that?
Nobody's seen
the
these
contender
movies.
Or something?
I forget. What was the one with, where they're both retired boxers, him and Stallone?
Oh, geez.
See, I told you. Yeah, but did you see it?
No.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
He's just good and everything's in.
Who wins this movie, Al Pacino or Robert De Niro?
Ooh, anytime you have to kill somebody, I wouldn't call it a win.
But being, if you really had to, you know, boil it down, I would say De Niro probably should not have gone after Wayne Grow. Yeah. And
I'm just talking about like the performances, not like who wins.
Oh, I was gonna say De Niro won because he didn't have to go back to prison.
Yeah,
he said he's never going back.
Yeah, so there's a win there. Yeah, but overall, you mean what, Evan?
Just the actors, not the characters.
I was super impressed with both the lead actors acting. I thought they acted well. It almost wasn't like they were acting. It seemed like it was an extension of their personalities, and that's, you know, that's what you want to see in a movie. That's what I felt like I got. I was pretty impressed with the movie overall for what it's supposed to be. And again, yeah, you know, not to trample on John Wick, because I love it too. You know, it's useless social commentary that it just has a lot of entertainment value. Yeah, highly entertained by the movie. You know, and I spent a lot of years down in Los Angeles around that time, so that has its value as well. Just the backdrop of Los Angeles and the characters, and I feel like movies now, everything's so saturated. It was maybe at the tail end of the time when I feel like it actually meant something to be a celebrity, and it was just prior or right around the time when you saw the Paris Hiltons and all this, for people becoming famous for no apparent reason, not for being a good actor, dancer, or anything else. But yeah, I just felt like it was kind of coming to the end of an era for Hollywood around that time, and we've entered into another one. And there's lots of great movies. You guys are talking about the Avengers and that kind of thing, but I just think it's like a snippet of time. I think that's why I appreciate the movie, not because, you know, I'm going to mimic their behavioral traits and relationships in my personal life. But again, it just like encapsulates.
Well, I'm not saying they need to be like perfect people, but like even movies like Point Break, like I find not Dalton. What's
Johnny Utah?
Bodie?
No, Bodie. Yeah, Bodie. Bodie. Even though, like, yeah, he's like killing people and stuff, I'm like, yeah, I want to see Bodie like do some shit. Like, I didn't care about anybody in this movie.
Wow.
I think two things. Michael Mann, what brought all these people to make this movie, are Michael Mann, because he's got a reputation for doing this kind of movie, and the fact that Robert De Niro and Al Pacino were in a movie together.
Right.
And that was the most fun part. I love that. That was one of my favorite scenes, because just them kind of working on each other. I thought, this is awesome. Yeah, it was just that back and forth. Energy that was, you could tell they're like, that was the pinnacle of the movie, at least for the point that they're starring together. Now they're finally in a scene halfway through the movie.
That was like right in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
That's, well, yeah, I think both of them said like that's what got them on board for this movie was that scene. Yeah.
I think one thing maybe is overlooked. Looking at the movie a couple times, I realized it that Tone Loc had more than a role in the movie.
Yeah.
If it were not for Tone Loc, then they would have never found out who Michael Cerito was, and they would have never known there was a peacock tattoo on the forearm.
Yeah.
And that's when they had that meeting, and Tone Loc just uttered that word slick, and that caught Pacino's attention. And he's actually the one that opened the whole can of worms for getting that crew taken down. So
he's the one they met in the club at 2 a.m. He's his brother or
cousin.
How do you
know his name?
Tone Loc.
Into the 90s. Yeah. You kidding me? Tone Loc.
Hey, what do you think about, I'm changing the subject for a second, what do you think about To Live and Die in L.A.?
Great movie.
The stuff you're talking about reminds me of that.
Yeah,
that's a great movie.
Willem Dafoe, wasn't that? Dafoe. Yeah, that was a... That
it
was
feels a like a Michael Mann movie.
The guy, what's his name? Phillipson, or no, what's his name?
Philip Phillipson.
It's something like that.
Philip P. Phillipson.
The guy from like CSI and stuff, isn't he the main guy? Yeah.
Well,
William Peterson.
William Peterson, all right.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah.
And Willem Dafoe's in it. Both of them.
I forgot Willem Dafoe was in it.
He's in everything.
I haven't seen it for so long.
Did I just score a point in the movie game?
It's tandem points.
Teamwork. do you guys have a favorite scene in the movie? Is it just the coffee scene?
Probably the coffee scene.
Well, there's some, like we were talking about the scene where they're trying to figure out what they were looking at, and they realized
that was pretty
that
cool.
That was a neat scene.
I like that a lot too.
When they were made.
That
was a stellar scene.
Looking at the LAPD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was some good stuff in that. I mean, that's the sheer over the top gun battle was pretty crazy. You didn't like that at all, huh?
Oh no, the gun battle was pretty good. I just wish I cared about the characters that were in it.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of all the Michael Mann movies. Does he just make movies where none of the characters, they're just all shallow and cold and compartmentalized?
Well, Manhunter, I mean, he had stylized. Like, Manhunter was the original version of, it was part of the Silence of the Lambs trilogy, but it was before, it was in the 80s, where it was the Red Dragon. No, was that? Red Dragon the original?
No, Red Dragon.
Mixing them up.
remake technically a Manhunter.
But that's what I mean. Red Dragon, in the as far as the books go, it's right. before Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And then they called it Manhunter in the 80s. And but there was a lot of good scenes, I thought.
Yeah.
With Heat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought one of the very first scenes, that first takedown of Venice Boulevard,
that was great.
Top notch. That was just top notch, even if that is a blueprint for trying to take down scores for
inspired people the wrong way.
Any other burning thoughts that anyone has to get out about Heat?
No pun intended.
Or is it overcooked at this point?
I may have a slight bias. Like I said, I enjoy LA movies. You know, maybe there are better quality movies. It just strikes a chord with me particularly. Enjoyed it from start to finish. But I definitely agree with Evan that none of the characters really make a whole lot of sense. And maybe that's part of why I liked it in some some way.
No, a lot of people like this movie. I feel like I did not see the same movie as everybody else, but yeah, I don't know. I wish I liked it more. But
the 90s follicle fashions of the time aside, I really like this. I the first time I watched it, I did not like it. I pretty much felt the same way you did. I was like, oh, I wish it were like a better like action movie or something. I don't know why I felt that, because the second time watching it, I liked all the action scenes. I think the set pieces are really what makes the movie more so than the characters. And it's not even so much the characters, it's the actors that you're drawn to, or at least that I'm drawn to.
Yeah.
It's super fun to just watch Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, just one ham it up and the other one just do his thing.
Yeah. I saw it at the movies, then I'd seen it on video a few times, but I hadn't seen it for a long time. So revisiting it, I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, it was a pleasant surprise. I'd forgotten a lot of stuff that happens in the movie because it's a complicated three-hour movie. And I really, actually really enjoyed watching it. I wasn't bored. I liked the fact, I've babbled about this 50 times, but the sheer number of character actors, noticeable good actors in it, was pleasing to me. I mean, even though there were small little parts that didn't really have a lot of, you know, even Ted Levine, you know, he's great, but he's just inserted in there, a recognizable face, and he's not an important character. But just, I enjoyed the overall spectacle of the fact that it was just so star-studded. The fact that Robert De Niro and Al Pacino were together the first time, they've been in multiple times since, but and I think Michael Mann's vision, because his movies have, to me, the ones that I remember are very similar. I actually enjoyed it. I don't think I'd put it in my top 250, but I didn't dislike it. I mean, I liked it. It was very entertained. Maybe if I thought about it, I would put it in my top 250. Now that I watched it again and really enjoyed it, I just don't think of this movie when people ask me what's my favorite movies. I don't think of Heat, but I gotta admit, I really enjoyed watching it again. That was fun.
As far as cop movies, it's definitely one of my favorite. Maybe not one of my favorite all-time movies, but
cop movie,
or rogue cop, I guess you could say, or
bank
robber kind of movie. Good stuff.
Awesome. But now we have to vote on if we want this to be in the podcast's top 100 movies of all time. And I want a simple yes or no. As we go around the table, I'll say your name, and I just want a simple yes or no. We can deliberate about it afterwards if we need to. We can take out the knives and really hash it out, but Mark, what's your vote?
Yes.
Matt?
No.
No.
And it's a no for me.
How many podcasts have you done?
This is the fifth one.
So you got 95 more. Well, no, we got
to make a real distinction. We'll revisit this question at some later date.
We got 100.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe we'll have to relook at Heat at some point. But Mark, why is this movie one of your 100 favorite movies?
Well, I thought you said it was one of the top 100 podcasts. Like one of your top 100 podcasts.
No. Top 100 movies of all time.
Of all time. Wow, there's a lot of movies out there. Okay, yeah. I think I didn't really hear or listen to the question correctly. Top 100 movies of all time? No, but definitely a top 100 heist, bank robber, like a certain genre of movie. I would definitely put it in there. I actually, the older I get, the less I enjoy explosions and death and the rest of it. I enjoy character development in movies and people that can work it out through dialogue instead of blowing each other up, whether it's CGI or not. So I lean towards movies like The Intern more than Heat. That doesn't mean I still don't enjoy them. I will definitely see John Wick 3. without a doubt. If there's a 4, I'm probably going to go see it as well. But overall, no, not a top 100. I would take that vote back and say that it's a no, just in terms of its specific kind of target audience. I think it's a very well done movie.
I think it's a great movie, and it's fun to watch. But yeah, probably just solely because of the fact that there are movies that are great and fun to watch, but also have like characters that you can kind of believe a bit more are out there. I'd probably say
you can't relate with bank robbers and road cops.
I didn't say relate. I said I can totally relate with a lot. Trejo is my boy, man.
And then I have one more question for everybody. Mark, I'm not sure if you've seen this movie, but I have to ask it anyways. This is, once again, a simple yes or no. Is this movie better than Paddington?
No.
No? Have you seen Paddington?
You were trying to limit me to just saying yes or no. I'm feeling constrained here right now.
I have to know.
If you let me escape Shawshank, then...
All right, we'll get back to it.
I've never seen Paddington, so I can't make the comparison.
Well, you made the right choice, but yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Matt?
No.
Tim, have you seen... This is better than Paddington?
Yeah, I gotta say.
You seen Paddington?
I have, outside of the movies. You mean the bear one?
Yeah.
Is there another Paddington?
I mean, I like that one, but it's weird to compare them. I mean, I have nightmares tonight of comparing them. Seeing this fresh in my mind, now when I see that, maybe I'll change my mind again, but I'd say yes, I like this more than Paddington.
That's the first yes, I think. All right, that's a no. That is a definite no for me.
Yeah. Is Paddington on your list of top 100 movies?
I don't know. It's pretty good.
It's not on the IMDb.
If you say
list.
It's good, I'm going to have to check it out. Yeah. Definitely point me in the right direction of entertainment and culinary delights, so I wouldn't steer me wrong in this instance.
I don't think it has any explosions, so it passes that test for it.
It's got marmalade sandwiches.
And darkest English, Peru. English
darkest people. Peru. That's all you need. Five episodes in. We only have one movie that's made the cut.
It's the very first one.
Very first episode we did. Monty Python and the Holy Grail is the only movie we've deemed worthy of being on the top 100. Wow.
Those are top notch. I have fond memories of watching that and The Life of Brian with a friend of mine's dad got us into the theater, kind of snuck us into the San Maria Theater. So I definitely enjoyed both of those movies a lot. Fond memories.
Well, comparing it to this one, you can close, turn it off if you want. Okay.
No, we're still talking. Yeah,
if you don't have anything to say, I can just edit it out.
Yeah, good. I was going to say, the thing about Monty Python and probably other movies that are going to make the top 100 is that I don't think he... quite get to this place where everybody talks about scenes or dialogue, or there's so many iconic parts in that movie that everybody quotes from 50
really
40 years later, whatever. And I don't think anybody
Holy Grail
Holy Grail, and Heat's not one of those kind of movies where everybody's talking about remember that scene. I forgot it, until I saw it again. I kind of remember the diner scene, a couple of the scenes, but I enjoyed it, but I don't think
people talk about certain scenes about it.
Yeah, I just
the gunfight's
pretty.
The coffee,
the elbow.
You got to be able to drop whatever you have in 30 seconds. You got to be willing to walk away.
But to me, I don't know. I think Gone with the Wind or Wizard of Oz. That's so ingrained. I don't think Heat would. Qualify for
it's
that.
A lot of movies. There's only 99 more spots. And Paddington's probably going to take one of those spots.
I think it's going to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now I'm intrigued.
But I think that brings the podcast to a close. Thanks for listening. And
thanks for having me, Evan. Very much.
Thanks for being on, guys. Yeah. And we're out.